Forecast for today, a mixture of clouds and sun, maybe a stray shower or a thunderstorm at a high around 68. What happened to 59-year-old Lynn Rickard of Kansasville? Still unknown, despite an intense search of central Racine County all Sunday afternoon and into Sunday evening. Dozens of law enforcement officers, fire rescue personnel, and other agencies involved. That search is continuing today. Rickard walking away from her home without needed oxygen, suffering from mental health issues, according to the Sheriff's Department, putting out an automated phone alert to all county residents.
We are currently looking for Lynn M. Rickard. Date of birth 12/8/57, described as a female, white, 5'4", 150 pounds, with brown eyes and long brown hair.
That message with the phone call emphasizing an urgency to find Rickard because of her mental and physical health status.
Lynn is believed to be unclothed and left her residence on June 25th and should be on oxygen but does not have her oxygen with her. If you have seen Lynn or know of her whereabouts, please call the Racine County Dispatch Center immediately.
At this point, anybody who has information should call 911 or still the non-emergency number, 886-2300. A family from Racine was coming back home early Sunday morning from an out-of-town trip, and they found their house on fire, 4125 Olive Street. A fire that began in the basement, according to Captain Mark Villapando with the Racine Fire Department's investigative office. How it started, though, is still undetermined. The damage estimate, $50,000. When crews got to the scene, they were told of two people possibly still inside. Nothing found, however, with the primary and secondary searches. The family was able to go stay with relatives living nearby. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee is to gather at 5 o'clock this afternoon on the third floor of City Hall. Among the items on the agenda, purchasing agent Kathy Casper presenting results of a request for proposal on computer software for municipal court, and that the authorization be granted to negotiate with a company called TIPS. The software cost otherwise listed about $7,300 over the $75,000 budgeted, almost $16,500 as well for annual support costs. And on the agenda, a recommendation from the purchasing agent to negotiate with Green Golf Partners for lease and management of Racine's courses. Public Golf Associates, which has run the three courses for the city the past several years, deciding not to bid for the work. Racine's 9th annual LGBTQ parade from the courthouse over to Monument Square for a mid-afternoon rally and some comments drew about 100 participants. Dustin Zadzik is the coordinator of the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin, located in Uptown Racine. He said the fight for equal rights, it goes on everywhere.
And I applaud our community, but our work isn't done. The center is here until the end. The events of last year at Pulse Orlando were a horrific reminder that we are a broader family. We have to be here to support each other more, stand up for intolerance, and remember where we came from.
Ron Casadente talked about Christmas memories at his Uncle Mike's house with his partner, Uncle Clarence.
Which back in 1952 was not very much accepted. Neither was it accepted to be gay. I never had an understanding that there was anything wrong with gay people. They were part of my family.
Geraldine Bodie, the LGBTQ support leader at Mitchell Middle School, and mentioning the State Department of Public Instruction's emphasis on helping students facing personal struggles, and the gathering including at one point a couple of Anglican friars with the Order of St. Francis in the Chicago area. They walked up after having learned of the downtown event while attending a function at the DeCoven Center. In obituaries, Gloria Nielsen of Racine at the age of 86 passed away on June the 18th. A memorial service will be held this coming Friday at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home. Friends and relatives will be able to meet with the family at the funeral home Friday beginning at 10 a.m. What had initially been reported in Kenosha as a shooting last night turned out to be an assault case. Officers dispatched to the 6600 block of 20th Avenue just after 8 o'clock to a group of people fighting, and while en route, more citizen calls came in mentioning shots being fired. On scene, officers discovered an adult male who was injured, but due to a battery. No other information has been released by police in Kenosha, but anybody who might have some to help in the investigation is urged to contact the Kenosha Police Detective Bureau at 605-5203 or Kenosha Area Crime Stoppers. That can be anonymous, 653-7333. Racine's James A. Peterson, Veterans Village, and its tiny houses being highlighted at the U.S. Conference of Mayors annual meeting today in Miami. The Ending Veterans Homelessness Task Force hearing from Jeff Gustin, Director of Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin, and other VOW staff members, Mayor John Dickert saying that the presentation included the host of the Tiny House Nation TV show.
Zach Griffin from Tiny House Nation is coming down to talk about the Veterans Outreach of Racine. And so they're going to present, and then we'll be doing a national press conference to highlight not only their efforts and what they've done to help with veterans' homelessness, but also we'd like to, you know, leave it open for the rest of the country to look to Racine's model and maybe even have us build their home.
The mayor indicating an effort to extend VOW's mission by having veteran village residents build tiny homes for other vets is being introduced around the country now.
We'd love to put together a program in Racine where we're actually using unemployed veterans to build these tiny homes and then put together the villages like we have in Racine. The one we have in Racine is the first of its kind in the nation and the only one that we know of its kind in the nation. So we're hoping that we can replicate this model and take veterans' homelessness to zero.
A video of a three-day house building and training session that was done by Zach Griffin in Racine last summer, which included veterans and community volunteers building a couple of tiny houses for veterans, was shared with the task force. Caledonia's Community Development Authority's got a meeting coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon at the New Village Hall on Chester Lane, and one of the items on the agenda, the public's ability to use the new building. Village President Bob Bradley and Administrator Tom Christensen are listed for appearances. The seniors group that met at the Eastside Community Center had raised concerns weeks ago about where they'd be able to meet from now on. Administration had talked to them about perhaps Joint Park in Franksville being able to meet their needs. Both sides were said to be at least discussing the issues at last report. Racine Unified School District's annual operational budget, about as complex as you're going to find in a governing structure, helped at times by the political winds in both Madison and Washington. But a recent change at the local level may actually help the process a bit. Budget Director Mark Duff explaining to the Board of Education how other districts have gone the same route. They were allowing for continued expenditures up to a point under an approved preliminary budget until final adoption of a budget is made in the fall.
This allows us to continue our operations. It allows us to have summer school, allows us to have administration and others work through summer and pay the bills and the utilities and all the different things that we need to do. It does indicate that it has a limit as to how much we can spend. We would still follow board policies and district procedures.
Past practice had Racine Unified's preliminary budget being approved, but then being followed up by cash flow borrowing. At this point, Duff says the district does not need to do that until after the budget adoption in October. Former Wisconsin Governor Marty Schreiber is back in the public eye as the author of a book describing in great detail his latest and perhaps most difficult challenge in life, being a caregiver for his wife, Elaine. She is now in the later stages of Alzheimer's disease. The book is My Two Elaines, Learning and Coping and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver. It has Schreiber speaking Wednesday evening at the Meadowbrook Country Club in Mount Pleasant. He tells our partners at Gateway Public Radio that he struggled at first to see his wife through a different lens, hers.
Their world knows only that which is right in front of them. Something which happens 5 minutes from now or happened 5 minutes ago is not in their world. So what I had to learn, and it's very, very difficult, but what I had to learn was to let go of the first Elaine, to understand that this person who once was is no more, and to understand I could no longer expect to have the same kind of friendship, the same kind of conversation, the same kind of counseling, the same kind of discussion about children, family, and friends, and so forth. That was something which is now gone.
On the other hand, he says he's learned to connect with his wife in simpler ways through different joys, like staring at a tree and admiring its beauty. Former Governor Schreiber's appearance in the Racine area Wednesday evening at the Meadowbrook Country Club being sponsored by Society's Assets. The Mount Pleasant Village Board will be meeting tonight at 6:30, a fairly short agenda, which includes consideration of a proposal for emergency bluff stabilization on the Lake Michigan shoreline for those homeowners affected by the wave action, which has been eating away at the slope for years, and nothing this time around about trying to again fill the vacant trustee position. The more densely populated southeast Wisconsin's got quite a few more motorcycles on the roads than most other parts of the state. The Department of Transportation continuing to focus efforts on reducing both deaths and injuries, a growing problem in recent years based on the latest numbers. The Mobile Rider Education Facility is one way of doing that.
It's basically a portable classroom called the RAF that we take to community events across Wisconsin. It's staffed by motorcycle safety professionals, and it's really intended to educate motorcyclists and all roadway users about how to share the road and interact safely.
That's Sarah Bazell with the DOT's Motorcycle Safety Management Program, says the RAF has been all over the state, from Kenosha to La Crosse, 50 different events last year alone.
Inside the mobile classroom, there are a number of interactive displays, a couple of motorcycle driving simulators, a distracted driving simulator, and those all share the goal of increasing awareness among riders and other motorists about sharing the road and being safe on our highways.
Motorcycles make up nearly 6% of all the registered vehicles in Wisconsin, according to Bazell, but 15% of all the traffic deaths recorded in recent times. Take note that coming up Wednesday of this week at the Pringle Nature Center in Bristol in Kenosha County, it's International Mud Day from 1:30 till 3:30 in the afternoon. It'll offer a lot of mud for attendees to play with, according to a release. They suggest an extra change of clothes if you want to participate. It is free. Donations are accepted to the Pringle Nature Center in Kenosha County. And the best places in which to celebrate the 4th of July. A new list is out from Wallet Hub, looking at things from average beer and wine prices to duration of fireworks shows. 4th of July weather forecast. Number one on the list is Atlanta, Georgia. Number two, San Francisco. Also making the top 10, Madison, number six. Milwaukee, number eight. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.